Go Ham and Go Hard podcast. We have a very special guest today. We're going to be sitting down with our salon consultant, Kirsten Niemer, and she is the GOAT. She's a salon consultant for Summit Salons and just, you know, keeps us in check.
100%. Kirsten is
the glue.
The glue that keeps us together on our coaching days when we just dive down every rabbit hole that could possibly be dove down.
And then the other ones we discover along the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
She's seen us at like our absolute worst and our absolute peak.
Yep.
She's like our husband.
Yeah, she is. Yep. So anyway, we love having her and we're really excited to introduce her to you guys today. I think you're going to get a lot of value from this episode and we're looking forward to it. So let's get going.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. It's been what? How many years?
Ooh,
it 10. Has been. Be about we've been with you 9 10. Years.
Yeah.
How old's Chloe?
9. We always base Chloe's on
nine.
How old
yeah,
Chloe.
Chloe's 9.
She was the first kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and all the rest many. Of them came.
I think to preface this, I should mention that Summit was something we wanted to do from the gate. Heather and I were like, we knew about Summit. If of course, like one of the first things I Googled back then was like, how to operate a salon business about 100 times, and Summit would come up all the time. And then we like realized, oh, it actually costs money to do this. So
I would have loved to seen your Google searches back then.
Oh my God.
If it's not on Google, it's not on YouTube, it's not worth knowing in life.
Hey Google, should I open a salon or move to Miami?
Yeah, right? Literally.
Well, one came, my applications went out about 6 months before I decided to open a salon.
I remember.
Yeah. So anyway, but we couldn't, it was just not something we could invest in at that point because we were so heavily invested in the actual construction of the company that we were like, all right, we got to hold off on this. And then about 6 months in, we get some questions from the team. They're like, hey, how do I get a promotion? And I was like, oh, I have no idea. Do you think you need one?
Go ahead, buddy. Do what you got to do. Today's the lucky day.
Yeah. So then luckily for us, we had a very strong partnership with L'Oreal at that point, and we were able to go to Summit down in Tampa. And we got assigned Kirsten. And that was a day that we just knew life was going to change forever. Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah.
So I think the people want to know a little bit of background on you. Tell us how you got to where you are.
So this industry is all I have ever known. I started in it when I was 15 years old, $5.15 an hour, Fargo, North Dakota, at the front desk.
I didn't know that. Really?
I knew that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Front desk, 15 years old. Started there simply because my mom got her hair cut there and one of their lead stylists said that they were looking for front desk help. So why not? Great place to have some fun and great place to start working. So 15 years worked for them all through high school, worked for them through college. These Summit systems came into our salon company and, you know, in true transparency, I was not a fan. You know, if you can imagine, 15 years old to 18 years old, I knew everything.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was ask me. And so I didn't need a system or a process or anybody to tell me anything. So when I would come home from college and I would ask for a raise, they would always say to me, you know, did you do your system? And I'm like, this system is stupid. So I did the system just to prove the system didn't work because like most people, I am my own worst enemy. And egg on my face went from a level 1 to a level 4 as a front desk team member and found myself at 22 years old being offered partnership in the 2 location salon companies.
Wow, that's incredible.
So
I didn't
impressive.
Know that.
I would love to know though, and not to cut you off, but I would love to sit down with your owners of that salon when you were... And ask them, like, did you ever think your 15-year-old front desk associate would turn into a nationwide, leading consultant in this industry?
And, like, kudos to them. Like, back then, having, like, a level system for their front desk, like...
That's amazing.
It's who are so you? Impressive.
Well, and they were one of the first salon companies that actually went through the Summit and so did a lot of things wrong so a lot of people could do a lot of things right. But, yeah, it was a crazy ride to
I thought that was us.
No, you guys are a crazy ride, but of a totally different kind. But I mean, that's just, you know, getting into this world and becoming a shareholder, you know, practicing what we preach. And And then a couple years after being in the salons, I was invited by Randy Kunkel, the founder at the time, to come out in the world and, you know, share this information. And at the time, I lived in Fargo, North Dakota, which you have to walk outside 30 degrees below zero and walk onto a plane. So I wasn't going to get very far very quickly. Started there, moved to Minneapolis for a year, met a boy 15 years later, now my husband, and we've lived out here.
Nice.
So aww. Kind of, I will say that this industry has not only given me a career, but it's given me my family.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And to your point about the people that I grew up with in this industry, I'll never forget it. They sent a letter, and I believe my father still has it, to my dad when I was like 19, 20 years old. That was just the most humbling letter I've ever received, just singing my praises.
Kind of like the Nobel Peace Prize you just got.
Like, I like to think that they knew maybe what I was capable of when I didn't.
Yeah.
That's
if that
amazing.
Makes sense. Yeah. Flash forward, sold my shares to the salon.
Yeah.
So other people could have that same opportunity that I had, and bought into Summit Salon Business Center. And I think this is either my 14th or 15th year as a coach with them. I forget. It's been too long.
Wow. Kirsten, when did you start with Summit? How old were you when that transition happened?
I officially became a consultant, I want to say, when I was either 22 or 23. And the reason I remember that is because legally you cannot rent a car at car dealerships until you're like 24
yeah.
or 25. Oh my
God.
Yeah. So I had to pay like fines and penalties to rent cars because I was too young. But yeah. I was in my early 20s.
Hmm. Well, two things I want to say. I think it's awesome that you noticed how the company that you worked for was able to see what you weren't seeing at the time. Because I've noticed that as a leader in our company, I love when I'm sitting with these team, you know, our team, and we're doing our meetings with them. And I love being able to see, like, God, if I could only show you a crystal ball of what your potential really is,
yeah.
because I see it in you. And like, sometimes they don't, they mm-hmm. doubt themselves and they don't even realize how good they are. And it's like, but I see it. Like, yeah. and I love that part of being a leader. And my other thing I want to say is shout out to Randy Kunkel, because he has the best laugh I've ever heard in any human being. The best laugh you'll ever hear. Yeah. If you ever want to hear a good laugh, go have a chat with Randy.
Yeah.
It is intoxicating.
So yeah. Now we're in 2024.
Yep.
It's a different world we're living in.
Just a little. A couple things have happened.
What challenges are you finding most salons are facing right now?
You know, honestly, I'd say 2024 is similar to 2023 in the sense that the people that have gotten lost in this industry are really us, the leaders. I feel like our people are okay, meaning, you know, our guests, our staff that we serve, because for the last several years post-COVID, everything that we have done has been in the name of keeping their livelihood, AKA our businesses, alive. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that I've noticed is once 2023 hit and all the pandemonium and the panic and just the fast pace and, you know, what government program, you know, ERCs, just all of that stopped. Leaders stopped, but they were still physically moving, but there wasn't anything for them to move to or towards or do. Hmm. So a lot of people felt defeated. A lot of people just felt stuck. A lot of people, I think, felt angry almost because the staff and the team, I mean, we hear this phrase all the time, guys, is, you know, salon owners and leaders. Sometimes we feel like we might make more money if we worked for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're building these businesses, it's mm-hmm. not easy and it's not inexpensive. So I think that leaders really lost themselves. And that's the number one thing that I can even say for myself that I'm striving to dive into more, is just being a better leader and getting in touch with ourselves, because we gave everything we had to everybody else, mm-hmm. whether that was our employees or even our families.
Yeah.
And, you know, as leaders, it's that saying, it's lonely at the top, who takes care of us?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think from a staffing perspective, they're better off than they've ever been before in their worlds because of what we as leaders have set up for them. But I think the biggest challenge is our buckets are really empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're empty, we can't lead.
I think that hits
like
home.
That's like what we're trying to do right now. Yeah. Like we're diving into like more leadership resources. And the thing you said about like being angry, I think that kind of trickles into the consumers, I guess. And also like our team, like when they sit down with us for one-on-ones, like they're frustrated because of like what's going on in the world right now. And it's hard to like tell them you can't be a victim of like your environment. Like you have to realize like you're great at what you do. You started this for a reason. And like, we need to get like back to that.
And it's hard for us too as leaders when someone comes to us with something like that, because sometimes we don't have the answers.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where we're headed. I don't know if we're in a recession or if we're not. Obviously, I think we are. But I mean, what's it going to be like in a year from here, 2 years, three? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have answers right now. And that's scary. Like, you do definitely feel alone at the top because you don't know what to say. I never really feel that alone, though, because I always have you.
That's true.
I mean, you might feel alone, but I mean, I just know, like, I can always go to you and I can't find an answer. So
we're all like navigating through this, like as best as we can, and like trying to make the right decisions when they're thrown at us.
Yeah. Well, and I think awareness is the key, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because what we pay attention to naturally improves, whether we put any effort into it or not. So just being aware of some of those frustrations is everything. But, you know, like you hit the nail on the head there, Alicia, something I want to go back to about, you know, like their frustrations. And when they're coming to us and not knowing how we can help, I always go back to that circle of control. And I know we've talked about it before as leaders, but, you know, they come to us with all the world's problems. Mm-hmm. And as a leader, we're expected to solve the problems. But little do they know, we have no fucking clue.
Yeah, right.
We're trying to figure it out as we go, you know, as well, too. But I think the intention would be just having that level of awareness, just to step out, not even step out of your comfort zone, because I hate that phrase. Stepping out of your comfort zone isn't something anybody wants to do. Mm-hmm. It's about expanding your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get beyond yourself, because that's when you feel really weird and awkward, but just kind of expand to where you were. But bringing it back to that circle of control and being able to say, okay, what are the frustrations with the recession, or what are your concerns about being able to excel, and helping a fellow human to see that the majority of what is keeping them back has absolutely nothing to do with them, and they have no control over it. But that's what they spend all their time worrying
about.
Yep. So what are one or two elements of this thing that's bothering you that you right now in this moment can have control over?
Yeah.
We can't worry about the weather. We can't worry about the economy. Mm-hmm. We can't worry about the election. We can't worry about, you know, the color of toenail polish or not that I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at what you can control and take action on that. Otherwise, you spend all your energy on all of the things that don't matter.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really good at as humans, hence our own worst.
Yeah. How long have you been with Summit for?
I believe this is either my 14th or 15th year as a Summit consultant, but I have been with the systems 27 years.
Wow.
So like working with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
For us, I feel like when our team come into us and ask us something and we don't really have an answer, the three of us, well, Dana included, it's now four, we'll get on the phone, try to find it within our little circle. And when we can't, we're like, oh, call Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you get somebody like me that calls you with something that maybe you don't have an answer to, who do you call on Summit? Do you have somebody there like that you mentors you?
You know, I usually have three different approaches, and I don't know if you guys have figured this out yet.
Let us battle it between ourselves.
Okay, you figured out one. So
that's
one,
when she's very quiet at the table and she just sits there and lets us go.
Because for me to interrupt your thought processes wouldn't help you guys figure out the full thought. So you guys have to go through the process. So sometimes I just let you guys figure it out because I know you can, and you just need to go through the process.
Yeah.
How many times do we have a conversation and we're like, well, we already know what Kirsten's going to tell us. Yeah. It's not what we want to hear.
We have said that, many times. We've literally said that.
But to that point though, it's, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, I either know the answer and I'm just going to sit on it. Sometimes I know that there's a colleague or two that I can go to that can give me just a quick answer. And then sometimes, like right now, there's some bigger things that I'm working on for my own personal development that I'm seeking out certain people to say, hey, this is where I feel like I need to grow and improve, and I need you to help me with it. Okay. So it's just knowing the people, I think, around you and what their strengths are and being able to tap into that and not being afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in today's world, it's so incredibly important to have mentors and coaches. And, you know, obviously I consider you two mentors and coaches to me because we figure things out together. I even would go as far to say, I think there's members on our team that I learn from often, mm-hmm. and I consider mm-hmm. them like mentors. They might not know that, but I do. Yeah. But for you, I feel that having somebody that you can trust completely with your business and, you know, maybe how you're feeling as independent, you know, as an owner, if you're frustrated about something, I mean, Heath, how many times have we gone to her as owners where you and I couldn't come to terms with something? We weren't on the same page with something. We throw Kirsten into the mix and we always find a solution. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It may take some time. It may take some tears, but we get there. And I think having somebody that you feel you can trust with your business, with yourself, be vulnerable in those moments where you're not feeling confident in something is like insanely important in business and in life in general.
I agree. I say it all the time. Like when people ask, how do you do it? How do you manage a house? How do you manage children, a husband, work-life balance, businesses? And my one answer is it takes a village. Mm-hmm. I can't do it on my own. Like there's no way I could be everywhere I need to be. Like I am not Santa Claus. I cannot do this alone.
You're
it
not?
Takes a village. No, I would love to be, but I'm not. But it takes a village. And I feel like when you were talking about leaders, how they feel alone at the top, like there's a solution. If you're feeling alone at the top, then you need to find a mentor. You need to find a consultant. You need to hire a company like Summit to come in and be your go-to when you are alone and don't have answers.
Yeah. So you mentioned your approach with us. Is that the same approach you take when you're like creating customized systems for other salons as well? Or,
you know, I think as a leader, part of being a leader is being a chameleon.
Yeah.
You know, being able to adapt yourself to the needs of that person, that organization, just whatever that is. So I think it varies. I would say it varies for the variety of salons that we serve. But the reality is those foundational principles, I really think, are the same. The approaches might be different.
Yeah.
But I mean, in general, it's either we're going to tell them the answer. It's no different than coaching and mentoring. We're going to let them figure it out on their own, or we're going to collaborate together.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's foundationally, it's not that hard, but every organization's people have strengths and weaknesses, and it makes it so intricately different.
Right.
But yet it's still the same.
Mm-hmm. So true.
It's like kind of like when we sit down with one-on-ones, like, how long did it take us to figure out that we can't coach everybody the same way? It's like based on...
I figured that out 3 months ago.
Oh, it's like parenting. Each kid, you have to parent completely different.
Like, it's all tied together. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's the same thing.
Yeah, so whatever you do in business as it relates to leadership, like honestly, it goes back to your home and it goes back to your family. I mean, my husband will even say to me sometimes, I know those phrases.
You're like, stop.
I know what you're doing.
Stop coaching.
Stop talking to me like I'm a salon owner.
Wait, Kirsten, you don't even want to know. I say things that you say, and my husband will be like, okay, Kirsten.
I love it.
It's hilarious.
So do you have a specific scenario, like, over the years that you feel like you're super proud of the impact that you made? And I feel like there's this phrase that's thrown around pretty often right now, and it's like regarding, you know, companies and suites. And my ask is, do you have any specific scenario where you felt like you provided tremendous impact to a company that, you know, may have ended up closing their doors but essentially moved on and was successful as a salon?
That's a big question. Personally, I would define that success in a couple different ways, because I don't think that there's not one answer to success in this industry. For me personally, it's always been the people. Like, to me, being a coach, is it about the salon company? 100%. But behind that salon company is all of the people that are inside of it. So without those people doing tremendous things, the salon's not going to do tremendous things. So I think personally, where I place, I think my most sacred trust, I would say, is just speaking and working with the individuals in a one-on-one process. You know, whether that was, you know, like Dana, when we were meeting last week, and she said, remember when we used to fight all the time? And I was like, I know, now you're sitting at the table as one of the owners, you know, but just like being able to have that relationship with people and being able to see them transition and grow. Mm-hmm. For me, I can name about five people on one hand that have given me just a why as humans. And I say that because sometimes it's not about the salon that you're coaching. Sometimes it's just about the people that are in it. Mm-hmm. You know, someone has to take care of these people. Someone has to do good by those of us that are in this industry. So I would probably define my success by a handful of individuals that I've met that, to be quite honest, I've stayed with their salon company, not for the leaders and the owners, but for them.
Wow.
And the growth and success through them quite obviously affected and helped the owners as well too. The other part of that, and this might sound cliche because, you know, I'm sitting here in your guys' podcast right now, but the other success story I would say is honestly is you guys. I mean, when we first met, you guys were doing what, almost a million, a little over a million? Had we even scratched a million yet?
Yeah,
like
we did.
Right there, yeah.
Like just like we were just touching it.
Yep.
And then that was one location. Now you guys have three commission salons. You've opened up a suite. So I mean, in terms of not just in business, but you guys in life as well. I mean, two babies. And this has all happened.
Heather, it's eight.
But this has all happened since you guys opened up those doors.
I can't even keep track anymore.
So, I mean, in terms of an organization, I honestly would say it is you guys. And not just because of the business element of what you have been able to accomplish, but it's the family element you've done along with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, and I bet a lot of people listening to this, that's kind of what they're struggling with is the balance. Okay. But success, it's the people that I get to touch every day. And it's owners like you guys that grow into people that get to touch people every single day and change their lives.
Wow.
So that I wish was it was our, an easier that was answer our
letter,
than that.
Your 19-year-old letter, that was ours right there.
Yeah. You saw in us what we weren't seeing.
Yeah, I got your guys' Venmo before we got here. Pay me for saying that. But truthfully, that is, you guys are an incredible success story in what you've done as business owners, but what you've also been able to do as a family behind the scenes.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks. And I do believe that that goes unnoticed in business a lot, mm-hmm. in general, let alone female driven industries. Because it's an expectation that we do it all.
True. So true. It's actually going to be a focus point for one of our next episodes.
So annoying.
Balance.
Yeah.
Balance. Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
There is no, what I have learned is there is no balance. It is, we get 100% of ourselves, and some days get a little bit more percentage of us. Some days get a higher percentage of us.
Yeah.
Some days I'm 80% work, 20% family. Some days I'm 100% work and 0% family.
Yeah. You know, you're so true with that. I just said that to you yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said last week I was so on point in work. My game was like this. And now this week I'm just so scattered brain for some reason. It's like I'm having a hard time reeling it in.
Yeah.
I think because I have so much going on this week that it's like crazy. But
It happens.
And tell me about something you would, some kind of advice you would give to a salon owner that's just starting out, that may be struggling. What would your first piece of advice be for them?
This might sound too easy, but I honestly believe you have to go back to your why. As a salon owner, why did you open up your company? Is it because you wanted to get away from X, Y, and Z that you didn't want to have a part of what your company is? Is it because you wanted to offer A, B, and C that someplace you didn't work didn't offer? But I would just always ask them, what is their why? Because if you don't know what your why is, you're going to be completely lost and success will be hard to find because you won't be able to define your success without knowing your why. Mm-hmm. So the first question would be, why do you want to own a salon?
I think it's easy to get lost too. With everything that's out there right now, like with the internet and all these salon influencers in our industry, like you start out with your why and you know why you're there. Mm-hmm. And then you start diving deep and going down rabbit holes with some of these influencers that you see on Instagram and TikTok. And I think that can really throw off your why, because now your whole mindset's changing and you have not just one, but multiple, and they all tell you different things and you start questioning yourself. And I think it's easy to get lost in that sense.
Yeah. We call them the disruptors. Oh. And that's not to be disrespectful in any way. Quite obviously, there's information everywhere. You know, we even said earlier, if you can't Google it or find it on YouTube, it's not something worth knowing in life. Although I still do not know how to fold a fitted sheet.
Oh, go on TikTok.
I have. I can't figure it out. That's what it does. It just folds it up.
Elastic bands. You just stick them around and make a pack. It's amazing. I'll send you the link. You could literally roll it in a ball, put an elastic band around it, and you know what size sheet it is.
Next time I'm coming over, I'm going to check out your linen closet.
The question was how it's easy for leaders to lose their why because they're influenced so much by all these disruptors, as you call them.
Yeah. So, I mean, information's at our fingertips. Everywhere you go, everybody's got something to say. And I think there's value behind what everybody has to say because that person truly believes it to be their truth. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just their truth.
Right.
But as industry professionals, especially those of us that have, you know, been in the industry, you know, pre-COVID, 10 years, you know, 15 years, it's a little bit different.
I could say it. I think that ultimately what you really need to know is that not everybody on the internet speaking their truth or their program or their coaching or their consulting, whatever it is going to align well with your business.
Yeah. Yeah,
and sometimes that can sway what your original why is, which is obviously super important to your business in general.
Yeah.
So I feel like making sure that you are finding a coach that is not only lining up with your business and your values as an independent salon owner, but also having someone who has knowledge and acumen to be speaking to what they're speaking to. I feel like anybody can go into Instagram at this point and put salon consultant in their bio and all of a sudden they become an expert when they're not. I mean, I see it. I see so often do I see these people on Instagram or TikTok speaking about business that, in my opinion, doesn't make sense or isn't the truth. And you should not be telling a salon owner this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I only know because I am a successful business owner. We've been doing this 10 years. We've made a lot of mistakes over the years. And it just kind of can be frustrating when you see somebody, you know, putting their truth, if it is their truth, out there in the world. And it shouldn't be something that they're telling other people. So I just think there's tremendous value to make sure that whoever you are hiring as a mentor or a coach has the business acumen to actually be a business mentor and a coach to you.
And I would just say, you know, realize what your need is when you're out there in the world looking for guidance or looking for coaching. You know, do you need help with social media? Do you need help with career pathing? Do you need help with sales planning? Do you need help with budgeting? Like, what are your actual needs? Because a lot of social coaching opportunities that are out there right now are very niche specific, and they do serve a good purpose. But I think that's where you just, again, you need to know what your need is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and going out there in the world, I just would always say, trust your gut instinct with some of the advice that you hear. You know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, we hear things out there today like, what are some of the crazy disruptors I've heard? Not selling retail in salons. Well, that's a great way to cut a potential 30% profit margin off your company if you don't sell retails. That's one I've heard. Another disruptor I've heard is anti-pre-booking. You know, well,
charging hourly.
Oh, the charging hourly, which is inauthentic to the guest that's in your chair based on the services that they're receiving. They could be overpaying or they could be underpaying if it's that hourly rate. Knowing what you hear, but don't take it at face value. Do your research. Do a little bit of a deeper dive. Is this just somebody that, you know, popped on social media and decided to pretend like they do hair? Or do they actually have a program? Do they have a following? Do they have a salon company? You know, you don't know anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just the gut instinct, you guys, in this business, it says a lot. And I don't think that a lot of other businesses today get that opportunity to follow their gut instinct because things are corporate, if that makes sense. And this is people.
Yeah.
People, we follow our guts.
There's so many ways also to like get from point A to point B. I mean, how many times have we spent time and energy on implementing something and then turning around and being like, oh, never mind, we're not going to do that because this doesn't make sense. So like, you know, if you have an idea or something, like you said, like do the research, you know, try every avenue before implementing it. And also like if you do implement it and it's not working out, like, you know, it's not a big deal.
That's the key that you just said. It's not a big deal. Most leaders, it's a big deal because of all the time, effort, and energy that they put into it.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work out, it's defeating and it makes us feel like, why are we going to do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like as an owner, if you're not willing to pivot when something's not working,
the word.
Then you're just going to be stuck and you're never going to ever move on. So I think you have to pivot with the outcomes and changes and how your team responds. Speaking of team response, I have a question for you. What would you say to a leader who is hesitant to bring in a salon consulting company because they think their team might not be receptive to it?
So my favorite response is they hire someone to blame. A leader is ready to bring in a coach in whatever capacity. They know why they're bringing that person in. And a lot of the times, if I can be very honest, it's because they don't know either how to approach it with their team or they don't have the backbone to do it with their team. And sometimes, like a lot, they don't even know a backbone was needed. Right. They just kind of woke up one day and like, oh, I own a salon. This looks like fun. Yeah. Or I'm going to take a couple of my friends from this salon because we didn't like X, Y, and Z and kind of, you know, go do our own. But bringing in a coach, it shows to your team that you care and that you're serious. And one of the difference what we do with Summit is, you know, we're working with your people. So we're building relationships and rapports, not just with you guys as owners and leaders, but with your service providers as well. So the ones that are afraid, I would say to them just very simply that, one, we're not here to take anything away from you. You know, whether that is you as an owner, whether that's you as a human, whether that's you as a service provider, because everything that you guys have done had gotten them to this place. Good, bad, and different. It's our reality. Here we are. But bringing in a coach gives them the opportunity to realize what they knew needed to happen, but didn't have the skills or tools to get there. I've heard from some owners that it's a humbling experience because you're being faced in the mirror with a lot of like, I need to be willing, but I'm not willing yet type of conversations. So it's recognizing the fear and I think honoring that fear, but also realizing that what you are doing ultimately is for your team.
Right.
And without them, nothing else happens.
Yeah, Iman, I think, do you remember when we brought in Summit? It was a huge change. Our team was scared to death. I mean,
we were scared to death.
We were, and change is scary for anybody. But the fact of the matter is you worked alongside us where, like, you implemented some new things and we did it. And if it wasn't working or everybody, like, we tweaked it and changed it. And there's always room for that. And, like, just because you're coming in and saying, okay, let's start this way, doesn't mean you might not change routes down the road to make it work better for that specific team.
The most powerful statement that you said to me was, and I can remember this back in 2015 when we partnered with Summit, you said to me, because I was very fearful, you know, I don't want to come back and implement this system that my team's going to be terrified of. They're going to hate it. They're going to hate me. They're going to quit. They're, you know, all of these things, these fears that I had as an owner. And you said, I'm not here to take anything away from anyone.
Yeah.
And that was powerful. And that being the introduction to Summit, to our company, was the point where the team didn't feel that there was something they needed to be afraid of. They felt like they were in trustworthy hands. They trusted us as owners. We trusted you. And, you know, ultimately it was a very successful transition for our company at that time. It was scary. Yes. Yeah. To what you said about Dana. You know, Dana was one of our, I would call it disruptor.
She was resistant.
She was one of the team members that was going to question. Mm-hmm. She had experience. She had worries. She had concerns. And she was going to be verbal about them. She wasn't someone who was going to sit back.
No, and she was in the industry for a long time. So she was a little bit set in her ways too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But ultimately, knowing that, you know, I'm not here to take anything away. All I'm here to do is implement better systems for you guys, for this company. And that approach really, really mattered for our team.
I think it's also important to remember, not everybody's going to have like the negative reaction, like nerd over here. Like, I was like, I will do anything you tell me to do. Like, if I just tell me what to do. And I think just like knowing who those people are and like having them have impact on those around everyone on your team is like important too, because, you know, everybody has different perceptions of how it could be taken. And I think I was like, there was a few of us that were excited because we had, you know, goals to hit and ways to move up, and you know, we saw that opportunity. So it was kind of like trying to spread that to the rest
and
of the team.
And someone like you is key when you're doing this, because you could go calm down the break room in 3 seconds. So.
Yeah, give me rules. I love rules. Give me boundaries. Like,
yep.
So
makes things less confusing, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. And then when it's less confusing, less problems happen.
Yeah.
True.
Like, what was the feedback from your team when you first started?
I think it was, like Alicia said, it was both ways. We had people that were resistant, and then we had people that loved it and couldn't wait to do it.
I think
we
people
just
loved
tried to stay as positive as we could.
Like, yeah. I think people liked the casualness of the salon, and I think they were afraid that they're going to have to, like, you know, abide by like all these rules and do all these things, or they're going to get fired.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't
what I mean?
Like that. And I feel like I did have conversations with some of our team members, and you may have too, but I remember specifically saying, like, listen, guys, you trust us. Like, you know, Amon and I, like, you know us well enough that we're not going to do something, that we're not bringing in like something that's going to damage us. Mm-hmm. Like, we have invested so much time and energy into this. Like, we wouldn't just throw this upon you and say, like, let's see if this works. Like, we know this is going to work. If we can just do it, it's going to work.
Yep. Ultimately, looking back since, you know, we opened and the progress that we've made, and you saying that you felt like we were one of your success stories that you're proud of, my heart. But I do feel like we got to where we are because of Summit. And you, the Summit Salon Business Company, and Kirsten partnered with us. I feel like that combination, all three components of that. So the Summit systems, you being who you are as a coach, and us all coming together are how we got to where we are today. And I think, you know, we're rebels in the industry. We push the limits. We come up with crazy ideas. We don't always go for them, but we do at times. And I think when we bring them to you, and you help talk us through it. You've never talked us out of anything.
No. I was just going to say, like, we come to you with the ideas, but you help us execute them. Mm-hmm. Like, when we wanted to open another salon, we didn't even know where to start with that. But as soon as we sat down at the table, your pencil started going, and you had it all mapped out and planned for us in an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, this is the direction you're headed.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So thank you for all that you've done for us over the years. We really appreciate it. Shout out to Summit, because without you, we wouldn't be where we are today. So we're very, very appreciative of the Summit systems. And for our company, that has been a perfect aligning business decision. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but for us, it was.
Yeah. For sure.
So,
well, if I can stand on those shoulders, you guys are not the typical owners. in the sense that you have a very, and I mean that in a positive light, just as everyone's laughing, you guys have a very high level of willingness to learn, try, and if it works, great, and if it doesn't, fuck it.
Go ahead. You can say we'll fail. Fail like, miserably.
But
we've been there.
You guys just keep on moving and you keep going on. And that's what sets you guys apart. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to take chances.
Well, thank you.
Of people are afraid because they're afraid of what others think, AKA their team. But the truth is that everything as a true servant leader, everything that you do is for the better of everyone else.
Love it.
People that know you know that.
Yeah.
Those that don't are not the right fit.
Yeah.
I think there's value in partnerships too, with what you're saying, because I feel like for me, if I was doing this alone by myself, I probably wouldn't be as willing and confident because I wouldn't want to go down alone. Mm-hmm. But with these two and Dana now by our side, I feel like if I'm going down, we're all going down. Yeah. So it's like
Safety in numbers.
Yes, that's what it is.
We're just not.
But we're not going to go down because we'll never let each other go down. But I'm just saying.
Just keep opening up more.
If it's just me by myself, I probably wouldn't be able to do this. So.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's content, our episode with Kirsten Diemer and Summit Salon Business Center. If you did enjoy it, please drop a comment below. If you're interested in having Kirsten back to focus on something else or something specific, we'd love to hear it. So that's all we got for today.